Now I want to talk to you about the joy of finding the lost. Look at Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, all of the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, and they really, really got upset at Jesus. Anybody ever get upset at you for trying to live right and do right? Here Jesus is trying to live right and to do right, and they're upset. And look at verse 2. Here's the reason. Because they are complaining, here is this man that is out trying to find sinners, and he receives them and he eats with them. There are some individuals who find no joy at all in seeing others' lives being changed. And a key verse of Luke chapter 15 is the first word that's found in verse 3, and that is, so Jesus said. What Jesus says in Luke chapter 15 is tied directly to the context in which it's found, and that is that the tax collectors and the sinners came near to him, and those other individuals got upset because there he was in their midst. Now, we're not going to look at this point of the lesson at beginning in verse 4 what was said, because that's the rest of the lesson. But you might, if you got that pew Bible, keep it open there in Luke chapter 15, or, you know, if you've got your own Bible, you might want to just open it up, because we'll be visiting verses 4 through 10 a lot during the rest of this lesson. Let me remind you of three eternal truths, and they become fundamental to understanding this story and understanding all of the story of the Bible. You see, here are three truths that never will change. And that is that God cares. Deism has the attitude that God created the world and then he just folded his hands and he's just sort of looking down to see what's going to happen with his experiment of mankind on this earth. Nothing could be farther from the truth. God cares. If I started quoting John chapter 3 and verse 16, your mind could quote the rest of it, right? God so loved the world that he gave. Now, you hear those opening words of John chapter 3 and verse 16, and those words shout out a truth, and that is that God is concerned about what's happening in this world. We need to be mindful of the fact that God is concerned about what's happening in this world in the 21st century. God's concerned about what's happening in America. God's concerned about what's happening around the world. And God is concerned about what's happening in your home. And God is concerned about what's happening in your life this very minute. Because God cares. There's a second truth. And that is that God searches for those who are hurting. You hurting today? You need to recognize that the God of heaven is searching. And because of our focus in this lesson today is talking about the joy of evangelism, emphasize the fact that God is searching for the lost. It might be that paganism or man-made religions might have the attitude that God is not really concerned about the lost in the sense that he'd go out looking for them. Why, there is that attitude that the only way an individual can come to God is to crawl on his belly, slither up into the presence of God, and lay there in abject fear and terror of an angry God. I want you to know that that's not the view of the Bible. The view of the Bible is of a God who is seeking for men to be saved. He wants individuals to be saved. He wants them to come to salvation. Jesus came into this world that the world might be saved. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why on earth does Jesus ever live on this earth? The answer is because God cares and God is searching for individuals. But there's that third truth. And there is that there is joy in heaven when people are saved. You think about the fact that the Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice. But the Bible says there is joy in the presence of the angels. That's different. When an individual is saved, there is joy among all of those angels that are there when an individual confesses wrong in their life. There's joy among all of the angels when an individual is baptized into Christ and commits their life to Jesus Christ. But that verse says there's joy in the presence of angels. Not just among the angels, but in the presence of angels. And in the presence of angels sits the Creator of the world on a heavenly throne. There's joy on that throne, for it is He who is in the presence of angels. When the lost are saved. And so in Luke chapter 15, whenever those individuals became critical of Jesus, Jesus gave two parables that we noticed this morning that illustrate that God cares and God searches and God rejoices. Look at that first one. You know the parable of the lost sheep. Which man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after the one that is lost? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing, and he comes home and calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I've found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you, likewise, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. We know the background of this story. Think about this parable of the lost sheep. We are not privileged in our lifetime and in this part of our world to understand the very nature of sheep. When I lived in New Zealand, there were 3 million people and 80 million sheep. Needless to say, I've been around a lot of Kiwis, but I've been around a whole lot more sheep. Sheep are hopeless whenever they get lost. In fact, sheep are so dumb that they'll follow almost anything. I don't know if you know what a Judas goat is. Whenever they're ready to slaughter those sheep, they'll get all those sheep in the pen and they'll put a goat in that in with those sheep. When it's time for those sheep to run up the ramp to be slaughtered, they hold out a carrot or in some way get that goat to lead to be the first one up the ramp. And every dumb sheep follows the Judas goat. He gets the carrot. They get their throat slit. Sheep are hopeless whenever they get lost. Oftentimes they don't even know they're lost. The illustration I just gave shows how dumb that they are in relationship to that, and they'll just wander off in any direction. And there they are, and all of a sudden they find out they're out there by themselves. They don't even know the way back. I want to ask you something. Does that describe our world? Dumb, blind, hopelessly lost, not even knowing they're lost, and maybe not knowing the way back. When we say those things, fellow Christian, do you understand where we fit in this picture? Do you understand that shepherd came to lead individuals back to the Lord? And the value of one lost sheep surpasses the value of all of those who are saved. That's why that shepherd leaves 99 sheep to go find the one. Let me ask you something. If you had 1,000 sheep, what do you think he'd do? Do you think that shepherd would find more joy in the finding of that one lost sheep than of the 999 that are there? Suppose you had 10,000 sheep. Think of the value of that one sheep, that as in our imagination, we see that shepherd leaving behind 9,999 sheep to go find that lost sheep. Do you understand the value of one soul? What's a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's life all about if I lose my soul, gaining everything this world might have to offer? And what gift can I give to anyone in my world greater than the gift of finding that sheep and bringing them back? Because sheep must have someone to find them. Listen, and that someone may be the Church of Jesus Christ. If this church is not concerned about those sheep that are blindly wandering about, not knowing their way back, maybe not even knowing they're lost, if this church is not concerned about the value of that one lost person, then who on earth would be? But think of the joy of finding it. Luke chapter 15, verse 5 says, when he found it, he lays on his shoulder rejoicing. And he comes home and calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me, I found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that likewise there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Look at the words, rejoicing and rejoice and more joy. Heaven is looking for that lost sheep. And heaven is counting on us to be the hands that grab the hands of those that are lost and the arms that caress them and the lips that teach them the way back to their home. We call this parable the parable of the lost sheep. Perhaps we ought to call it, as is on the screen, the parable of the joyful shepherd. Look at that second parable. Again, Luke chapter 15, verse 8. What woman who has 10 silver coins, she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, carefully search until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Boy, those sound a lot alike, do they not? The first parable perhaps emphasizes the value of that lost sheep and emphasizes the compassion of that shepherd who goes out and he doesn't take a rod and try to drive that dumb sheep back to where it ought to be, stand in arrogance and beat that sheep, trying to get that sheep to live right, but lovingly picks up that sheep. And the Bible says he puts it on his shoulder. Aren't you glad that our shepherd, who has a rod and a staff, also has a shoulder? But if that first parable shows the value and compassion, what about the one we just read about the lost coin? Does it not show the value and the persistence of that woman? She swept the house. Those houses, many of them in that first century, had either a dirt floor or a floor that was uneven in many respects, covered perhaps with some mat or something of that nature. And here she is. She's looking for that coin. And whatever kind of covering there is, or whatever there is there, she sweeps it. But it's dark inside that house. So she goes and finds a lamp and takes the lamp and puts that lamp there, hoping she'll be able to find the coin. Think of the extreme measures that she goes puts forth to find that which was lost. Brother and sister in Christ, is there anything that the Lord would ask us to do in trying to reach out and reach the lost that's not worth the effort? But think of the joy that's finding it. When she finds it, this parable of the lost coin might more fittingly be retitled as the parable of the joyful woman. Look at the text. The text says she finds it. And so she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me." And then look again where Jesus says, in the presence of the angels. Not just the Father, but the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are in the presence of the angels. Not just among the angels, but in their presence, all of heaven rejoices. I hope we understand the joy of reaching the lost. So much that has been said has been in preparation for what is about to be said. Because I want not to talk about the parable of the joyful, rejoicing shepherd, or the parable of the joyful woman who finds the coin. But I want to talk about the story of a rejoicing church. David Sproul, come and talk to us.
On May 25th, just a few weeks ago, we talked about an exciting and unique opportunity that's going to be ours on the weekend of August 15th through 17th. And Dan and I wanted to give you an update on what's happening with that opportunity, an update on what's been happening over the last month and a half since we talked about it last time, and to realize that we need to rejoice that we're reaching out to this community, that there are opportunities not just for this seminar, but we are reaching people that perhaps we would not have been able to reach before because of this unique and appealing seminar. I want to ask you a question. Do you think America is silencing God? For more than 40 years, we have been told that the founding fathers advocated the separation of church and state, and that no public expression of religion should be found in our society. That's what we've been told. For more than 40 years, we've been told that the founding fathers embraced diversity, pluralism, multiculturalism. That's what we've been told. For more than 40 years, we've been told that they advocated the acceptance of all religions. That's what we have been told. We have been told for more than 40 years that America was never intended to be a Christian nation. Have you heard those things? You've been told those things? It was Adolf Hitler who said, by means of shrewd lies, unremittingly repeated, it is possible to make people believe that heaven is hell and hell, heaven. The greater the lie, this is Hitler talking, the greater the lie, the more readily it will be believed. Folks, We have been subjected to just such lies. And on August 15th, 16th, and 17th, we will have an opportunity to not just hear a little bit of evidence to the contrary. We will have an opportunity to hear overwhelming evidence that the founding fathers intended for the Christian religion to be the basis of this nation. I hope you're excited about it. I hope that you are making plans to be there. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But I hope you're doing even more than that. I hope you're reaching out to others to get them to come. I want us to talk just for a minute. I'm only going to take a few minutes. I want us to talk about some of the... My slide has lost sight of itself. What we have done to get the word out is having success. Apparently it didn't transfer from my computer to this computer. We talked a month and a half ago about what we were going to do, and in the last 6 weeks, we have been doing it. You have been involved in it. And I want you to see some of the success that we've had. Hopefully this week, I hope it's this week. House to House, Heart to Heart, Glenn Dawson and Richard Alija, I hope it's this week that it comes in. If not in the next 2 weeks, that the July-August issue of House to House, Heart to Heart will be here. On the outside cover of that, the very thing that people will see when they pick it up in their mailbox, is the information about this seminar. 7,800 homes, hopefully in the next 3 weeks, are going to get an invitation in the mail, information right there on the House to House, Heart to Heart. And based upon the success that we've had with this publication since we've been mailing it over the last 8 or 9 years, I expect people to respond to it. But we told you several weeks ago that we were going to mail out invitations to all the local churches of Christ from Orlando, really local Orlando, all the way down to Key West. We've done that to over 200 congregations, and they've been calling, asking for tickets. We said that we were going to have a mailing to all of the local denominations, and we've done that. Over 350 letters, invitations, were sent out to local denominations in this county. They've been calling in. Preachers and church leaders from these denominations have been calling in, asking for tickets to come to this seminar. We said that we would mail out the information to the Palm Beach Community College EC Campus Theater. They have a list of their patrons. You were involved in this. We had 2,500 addresses from the college that they have on their list in this area. You put the labels on, we mailed them out, we've had people calling in, going to the website, registering so that they can come to this seminar based upon you putting labels on those invitations. We mailed out, I think it's been 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, an invitation to all city council members in the county. All the towns and all the cities, the town of Lantana, the village of North Palm Beach, the city of Mangonia, every town, city, and village in the county, all of their city council members, all of their mayors, all of their vice mayors, they receive personal invitations to come to this seminar. All of our local, all of our state politicians, our local representatives that are representing us, hopefully, in the Senate, in the state legislative, and federal. All received invitations a couple weeks ago. They have been calling, they have been registering to come to this seminar. On May 25th, we told you that we were going to have online community calendars that you can go to, gopbi.com. Several of the TV stations have these. And thanks to Allison Price, we're listed on many of these community calendars. On May 25th, we put out on that table, and it's been there ever since, all of those cards and all of those flyers that we asked you to take those flyers and start posting them wherever you could, in mail rooms at your at work, or mail rooms at your apartment complexes. Take them to your break rooms. Take them to businesses. Take them wherever you can. Post the flyers. Take those invitation cards. Pass them out to whoever you can. And you did that. And I hope you still are doing it, because people are responding. There was a young lady named Amber who called probably 3 or 4 weeks ago and said that she had gone to the mail room several times at her apartment complex, and she kept seeing this flyer, and she said, "You know what? I just need to come." One of you put a flyer in one of your mail rooms in an apartment complex, and now Amber has tickets to go to the seminar. There was an elderly man named Edison who called about 2 weeks ago and said, I just opened my front door and there was some information stuck in my door about this seminar. I want to come. One of you went to one of your neighbors, stuck something on their door, and now Edison has tickets to come. There's a disabled vet that called this past week named Wayne, who had gone down to the mailroom at his apartment complex, saw a flyer, and now this disabled vet asked for two tickets to come. Folks, it's working. It's absolute what we are trying to do in impacting this community for Christ through this seminar is working. This is not some political rally that we're trying to have. We're not having a political rally. The church is not a political institution. We are trying to save our nation. And the only way we're going to save our nation is for Christians to stand up and to be counted for righteousness. I beg of you this morning, as you walk past that table, to think of who else you can give a card to. To think of who else and where else you can take one of those flyers and post it. Take a stack of them. Start passing them out and inviting people. Get them to come. Get them excited about the prospect of coming. We've ordered and have available. Five of you asked on May 25th to have those car magnets that we talked about. And five of you now have those on your cars driving around. There may be even in our parking lot this morning, vehicles that have these magnets on their car. I've got five more if you want one. If you'll give us $25 to help cover the cost of it, a little more expensive than we wanted, $25, you're going to have a car magnet. If we get too many requests, we'll just order some more. But you see these all over vehicles, and that's the magnet. Do you think America is silencing God? You all said yes. You think anybody else says yes to that? And they go to this website that Javier Trilla has created for us, and we bragged on Javier May 25th, but he wasn't here, so we'll brag on him again. Outstanding website where they can go and learn about the seminar, learn about what's going to be presented, and right there on the website, register for the free tickets. And we've had those requests coming in ever since that website went live. People have been registering for their tickets. If you want a magnet, see me this morning, and I'll get one for you. What we have been doing to get the word out, it's working. And I beg of you, my brethren, to keep it working. Keep these phone calls coming in. Keep these registrations of people online coming in. And it's only going to happen if you get out and invite people to come. But it's not just what we have done. There's things that we're doing right now. There are things that are in the works right now. The week before the seminar, we will have a quarter-page ad in the Palm Beach Post that will run for a week advertising this seminar. The week before the seminar, we're going to have some 60-second radio ads on the radio advertising this seminar for a week. There's a lot of things that are in the works. We've got a banner that I hope will be here on the 16th, this week on the 16th, a banner to go on the side of our building. For all of those people who may not get an invitation in the mail, for all of those people who may not meet you and get a card in their hand, perhaps they'll drive by the building and they'll say, yes, I do think that, to the first question. They'll remember the silencinggod.com website and go to it to check it out. There's a lot of things that are happening. We've told those people who have ordered tickets that we're not going to send them the tickets until August 1st. A lot of reasons for that. If you got tickets on July 1st for a seminar on August 15th, you know what you'd do with those tickets? You'd lose them. So we're not going to mail out the tickets until August 5th or August 1st so that they don't lose them. The other reason is so that they can get an extra reminder about the seminar on August 2nd or 3rd whenever they get those tickets in their hands. But what we are doing when they register now, and this is not happening for you if you're a member, so don't think that you've missed out. We know you've got this information. But most of these people that are registering, the only information they have is whatever they've seen on a flyer that somebody has posted. Or the only information they have is what they've seen on the website. And so we are sending them in the mail a confirmation. We know we've got your tickets on hold. And then we're sending them some of these cards that are out here and saying, let other people know you know. Let them know about this. There's a lot of things that have been done. There's a lot of things that are being done. What's left to be done? There's two things that I want us to talk about, and then Dan will finish the lesson. There's two things that are left for you and I to do, for all of us to do. First of all, we need to keep inviting people. We don't need to stop. It's a month away. Today is what, July 13th? The seminar starts on August 15th. It's a month away. Grab those cards, grab those flyers, start inviting people. Do all that you can. We've sent out the e-invitations. If you need it again, let me know. Send an email out that just has the web link and they can go and check it out. Send the information out as wide as you can in this area to as many people as you can and let them know about it. Second thing you need to do, I've already done it, is you need to register for your tickets. We said on May 25th, you cannot come to this without a ticket. There are no exceptions to that in this room. You cannot come to this seminar without a ticket. The EC Campus Theater has asked us to use tickets as a means to controlling the crowd and controlling admission. The tickets are absolutely free. It just requires you to pick up the phone and call the office this week, or just go to silencinggod.com, register there. You don't even have to talk to one of us. You can just do it online and we'll get the information. But you will not be able to come, no exceptions, to this seminar unless you've got a ticket in hand when you arrive. Now, if you want to guarantee your seat, you need to bring somebody with you, and I'm not talking about your wife. You need to bring somebody with you. If you don't want us to take your ticket and give it to somebody else, then let us know you've got friends coming. You see, we've only got 750 seats. That's the capacity of the theater. If we get 800 requests for tickets, guess where I'm going to go for those 50 seats? I'm looking at you. I'm going to come and take your ticket away to give it to somebody else. But if I know you've got somebody coming with you, that will guarantee your seat. One of our members has 16 tickets on hold right now. Not because she thinks she can get 16 people to come, but because she has 16 people coming with her. Guess what? Her seat is guaranteed along with those other people. I know she doesn't need 16 seats for her and her family. She's got people coming. If you want to guarantee your seat, get online, register, let us know you've got people coming with you. This is going to be an outstanding opportunity for this congregation. It's going to be an outstanding opportunity to reach this community. Through this seminar, we are going to reach people that perhaps we would not be able to reach otherwise. The fact that we're having it off-site is going to allow us to reach people we wouldn't reach otherwise. The nature of the seminar is appealing to people that would not otherwise come in this building. And the fact that we are doing all of this advertising about this kind of a seminar, hopefully, is going to have an appeal. I beg of you to pray about this. I beg of you to get involved in inviting people. And if you want to come, we've got a third of that auditorium already filled up. If you want a ticket in the other two-thirds of it, get busy inviting people. Get busy registering yourself.
I don't know about you, but he convinced me I need to sign up. I think I'll go to that site and see if I can do that. Let me ask you to do something. When those newspaper ads come out, I don't need the copy out of your newspaper. Would you go to your neighbor and say, "Have you seen what's in the paper? I need the copy of that ad out of your neighbor's newspaper." That'll give you an opportunity to invite your neighbor to come to this seminar. You're saying, "Well, I just don't know how to invite folks." There's another way of doing that kind of thing. We'll mention that again. Let's back up just a minute and talk about that story of the church. The story of Palm Beach Lakes is the story of a church that is concerned about recognizing the value of a soul. Folks, that's what it's all about. To reach out and to touch the lives of others because we recognize the value that that soul has, and then to put forth whatever effort it takes in our heart to reach out and to find that lost. Think about these two thoughts. The happiest experience of life is to be rescued by God. Think about the people around you. The happiest experience of their life is to be rescued by God. Now, you may have already invited some people. Let me encourage you to go out tonight or this morning and pick up some other cards and give them another invitation. Just want to remind you of this great thing that's coming up. And the other thing that we need to recognize is that we ought to celebrate like heaven does when lives are changed. If God so loved the world that He sent, and Christ so loved the world that He came, what about us? I'm excited, and I thank you, David, for that update. I'm excited to know about the rest of the story. And the rest of the story rests with you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this church, that it is a light that shines in a world of darkness, that it is the salt of the earth that flavors and seasons those very homes that are in this county and even in surrounding counties. And we pray, Father, for the success of the Silencing God Seminar. And we pray for eyes that will be able to see the opportunities that are there, and for doors of opportunity to be opened before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the joy of heaven when some individual lives right and does right. And you can bring joy in heaven if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible says that God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes, that's every one of us. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you need to make a decision. What you're going to do with Jesus? That decision in the Bible is called repentance. And the Bible says, except you repent, you'll perish. And the Bible says, Acts 2:38, repent for the remission of sin. You don't have the remission of sins if you haven't repented. And you need to confess that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 affirms that. And then you need to be baptized. Mark 16 says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Are you a believer in Jesus who has not been baptized? Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You want to be saved? Hear the words of Jesus. And when, as a believer, you've made up your mind to follow Jesus and you've confessed with your lips that He is the Son of God and you're baptized, then He adds you to His family, to His body, to the kingdom, to the church of Jesus Christ. And then He says to every one of us, be faithful, and I'll give you the crown of life. God says to every one of us who are members of His body, I'm counting on you. I'm trusting you. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. If heaven is weeping right now because of your ungodliness, won't you take that step that you need to take to cause there to be rejoicing among the angels and rejoicing in the presence of His angels? It's only a step. Take that step right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?